Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and on Friday we talk about great success stories, and I can't think of a more successful place than the Doubletree Hotel, where Ackerley Advertising had their office for 18 years, and where we've had a lot to do. My guest host with the co-host is Roman Campuzano. Good morning,
good
Roman.
Good morning.
Roman is going to be guest hosting for me in a couple of weeks, so he's in here
yes.
doing his thing. One of my best friends in the whole world, we went to the same high school together, separate years. And we've known
yes,
each other.
Yes, separate years.
Yeah. You're a lot older than I am, is what you're trying to say.
Oh, yeah, right.
My good friend, Janet Hare, who's been the director of sales and marketing at the Doubletree for a couple of years.
The Doubletree at Reed Park.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly. Doubletree by Hilton. Doubletree Hotel by Hilton in Tucson at Reed Park. Yeah, okay.
My agency would be upset with you.
Yeah, we ought to talk to those guys and see what they have to say. And our other good friend is Darren Haley. Darren is the general manager of the Doubletree Hotel at Reed Park, Tucson, by Hilton on Alvernon. Between Broadway and Clay. Yeah, across the street from Reed Park. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Darren. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Ed?
Great, great, great. Well, we've had talk about great success stories. The Doubletree is the place to be in Midtown. It has been for many years. And so before we talk too much about what's going on right now, let's talk a little bit about history, and let's talk, both of you, your path to getting to the Doubletree in 2024. Both of you have a long history in hospitality. Let's start with you, Janet, just a quick summary of your little career track.
I was a baby
in
1996 when I started at the Doubletree.
Yeah.
Oh, what a big job. I thought I was a sales manager. And, you know, I had an advertising agency, Ed Ackerley and Bill and Gene. And I made a few bounce backs along the way.
Right.
Ran into Darren at one of those where we worked together for a little company called Starwood.
Yeah.
And he went on to do great things. And I bounced back to the Doubletree.
And we loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been there on this tour. How long have you been there on this
tour? About 15 years.
15, yeah.
Yeah. We've had some good times.
We had a great time. You know, my office was 100 paces from your office. So we have spent a lot of time together.
A lot of lunches.
A lot of lunches talking about things. And Darren, you've been at the Doubletree a couple times. And
Second time around this time. A few years ago, about 2014, I started at the Doubletree in a position, and then as director of revenue, and then the pandemic came along, and so
right.
I changed positions, and then I've come back as general manager. So it's been an exciting journey for me. I've been at a lot of hotels in Tucson, So for the past 30 years, I've worked in hotels in Tucson. But it's great to be back at the Doubletree, iconic hotel in Tucson. You know, it's been around for 50 years, It's fun. We're having a great time. I'm having a great time.
Darren reached out to me in 2014, and he was in Hawaii.
Of all places,
At a really not very well-known hotel called the Fairmont. And then you were at the Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted to come back to the Doubletree. And I said,
well, Tucson's my home.
What?
Yeah, Tucson's my home. I wanted to come back. I had some great success outside of Tucson, but Tucson's always been my home. So being able to come back to Tucson and come to work at the Doubletree was a dream come true. So it's been a joy. It's been a joy the whole time.
A dream for a lot of us to have you
come back. Well, it's really good to have you. I teach at the U of A, as you know. I've been there for over 3 decades. And Darren, I know you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you right now, I talk about you every semester. I talk about Darren Haley because I talk about the RevMax job that you had at the Doubletree and how you try to maximize revenue for the hotel and tell the students how that whole process works of, you got so many seats on an airplane and you got so many hotel rooms and you got to try to figure out what is the price that we can get in order to maximize revenue. So.
Exactly. And we're setting pricing based on markets, based on market segments, based on time of year. It's a challenge, but you know, and you would think about it, Our hotel inventory, just like an airplane's inventory, we have perishable inventory. Right. It's so if I don't sell that room tonight, I never get the opportunity to sell it again. So so really trying to sell as many rooms as possible at the right rate every single day. It's a challenging job, but it's also really rewarding.
It's fun, but it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, though. You gotta figure out what the going rate can be in order to get people there, but also maximize profits. So.
And, you know, there's a lot of rates in hotels. Many people book at different rates. And so, but that's the goal. It's just like airplane seats. Each airplane seat is valued a little different. Each hotel room is valued a little different. So, it's almost a game of Tetris. We look at it like that. So
if Janet sells a big group that's 6 or 8 months in advance, then the room rate is different than the guy that walks in 2 days before and wants to have 10 rooms and, you know, we're kind of limited inventory here. So.
Well, and it's also based on demand. So the further out you book, the less demand we actually have in the hotel. So you're probably going to get a better rate the further out you book, and then the closer you're in, the hotel's fuller and fuller and fuller, and so the rate's going to go up and up and up.
Right.
So that's true. So that's a secret of the industry.
So I'm also a native of Tucson, and I just wanted to kind of get a feel for how it's looking today. I haven't stepped on property in perhaps maybe I met Ed Ackerley in the lobby of that same hotel.
Yeah,
that was 2015. So it's coming up on 10 years that I haven't stepped foot.
The hotel's in beautiful shape right now. We've been through a full renovation. You walk through the lobby door, everything is completely different than when you were there in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From the floor to the ceiling. The entire hotel's been renovated from the parking lot through the 9th floor of the tower. It's beautiful. And we keep making improvements every single day. So
excellent.
Yeah.
And it's really modern too when you walk in. It's not that you know, because it's 50 years old, not that it was ever old, but this new look is just, when you walk in, it's like, wow, this is pretty amazing. And it's an impressive look when you walk through the door.
It is. We're considered a luxury brand. Mm-hmm. The DoubleTree is within the Hilton portfolio, and that shows when you walk through the front doors of the DoubleTree. From all the finishings that we have, they're all first class to get into the rooms.
And we talk about the famous cookie being born at the DoubleTree Hotel, but you know, that was it's a real signature piece of the DoubleTree brand is the cookie, and
it's,
certainly
DoubleTree, it's what makes it special.
Yeah, and Reed Park certainly has played its role in that.
Well, we're the longest standing DoubleTree in the brand,
right?
So, you know, that's saying something. We've never been anything but a DoubleTree. We were built as a DoubleTree,
right?
It's pretty special.
Yeah. And you think about that, a lot of hotels, you know, as a downtown property you guys are at and stuff, they go through different flags and different management companies and so forth, and
sure,
they change their brand. DoubleTree at Reed Park has been the DoubleTree at Reed Park since day one.
Since February 4th, 1974.
Yeah.
It's been a DoubleTree and never changed, and we hope it never will.
Yeah. And it's great to be the flagship property too.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting. We're headed to the Hilton conference next week, and we always get acknowledged for maintaining the excellence that, you know, started the brand.
Well, we invite anybody and everybody to stop by at the DoubleTree and get a cookie.
Right.
You know, so we're happy to give them out. That's our signature, and that's welcoming. And so we invite anybody to stop by the DoubleTree.
We were just talking to Matt from the Drive, who used to live by the DoubleTree, and he was over here when talking to us. And he says he stops by every once in a while and goes in the front desk. He used to work there. So
yeah, please do.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the thing that's special about the hotel, the renovation does look fabulous, but it's the people.
Yeah.
And it's the people like Matt who come up and have just
stories,
fond memories of, and Patty, of the Javelina Cantina, which is now the Javelina.
Let's talk about that when we come back after the break. We'll delve into the new Javelina, and we'll talk a little bit about community engagement and how the DoubleTree has been a great partner for 50 years. You're listening to KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. And you're listening to Jump in Tucson. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson with my co-host, Roman Camposano.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, yeah. Later on this month, you're going to be sitting in for me and doing the lead.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you're going to be great, and appreciate you doing that for me.
Absolutely.
You know, Janet and Darren, Janet Tahare and Darren Haley, general manager of the DoubleTree Hotel at Reed Park. You know, the DoubleTree's been a part of Tucson for a long time, 50 years. We were just talking about some of the great charities and community involvement that we've had over the years. Of course, when the Tucson Classics was across the street, when the LPGA golf tournament was across the street, it was the landmark hotel More recently, we've had some, you and I started Coaches for Charity 15 years ago. That's been an amazing opportunity. Had a lot of good things going on there.
It's fun. It's fun to be the home of all the
right
community activities. I mean, we have the Blue Blazers coming in.
Yes.
That's the Coaches for, excuse me, that's the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl volunteers. That
yes.
Are all involved
and Pima County Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that big
another
banquet's
big
coming
event,
up.
And you know, that's a lot of fun.
And then, of course, you've been a supporter. I've been working with, I was telling Rick Croner last night that I've been working with the U of A band since 1984, and you guys have been providing the rooms for the judges for band day since 84, and you continue to do that, and you're even giving them a little bit extra boost this year because they won the Sudler Trophy, and so they're going to be getting that in November, and you've added those rooms this time, so thanks for your long-standing support of the U of A band and the pride of Arizona. So that's been
no,
great.
We're happy to do that, and we're glad to be affiliated with that.
Yeah.
We're proud of that. We're proud of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Javelina, which you know, evokes a great memory for so many people who were here in the late 70s or 80s. And man, what a place! And now you've brought back the name Javelina. Tell us a little bit about the new venture.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to pay homage to the Javelina Cantina because not everybody, but a lot of people in Tucson really have a memory of the DoubleTree Hotel and the Javelina Cantina. So we thought bringing back a version of that, an updated version of the Cantina, is right timing. You know, the hotel's had its 50 year anniversary, so we thought it was a perfect timing to bring back Javelina, and so we did that in an updated. It's hard to describe, but it's just an updated version. So I'm still a completely renovated space. I still have the outdoor indoor seating, the garage door. So it's still a beautiful space, but completely different from the original Javelina Cantina. But still a lot of fun.
And it just like the lobby and the other areas, it's modern and very open and very festive and so forth. And then Roman and I spent a lot of time out there on that patio, haven't we?
indeed. You know, at some point, I remember there was a fireplace there. Is there a more modern fireplace or plans for that coming up?
No, there isn't a fireplace in the Javelina. There was some fire pits outside on the patio, and those will probably be brought back as the weather cools off a little bit.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I was just looking at that yesterday thinking, we should get one back over there again. So so that'll happen sooner than later.
Great,
Roman.
Great. Yeah, that creates for a great atmosphere.
It's a fun place to watch a game, that's for sure. And with, you know, week one of the NFL, come on by Sunday.
Yeah. And we spent so much time there, 19th holing it, too, from, you know, go play golf and then come across to the 19th hole at the Javelina. I've done that a zillion times, and it's what a fun thing that is. So talk a little bit about the food offerings, and the, you know, obviously it's an absolute beautiful full bar, gorgeous bar. Oh my God, it's a beautiful presentation. And then we were there having lunch the other day, and what a delightful menu that's available.
A little bit of everything, you know, from what you'd expect in Tucson. Some good taco opportunities and quesadillas and nachos.
Bill had the nachos. Yeah, that was good. We even took a picture of it. It was so nice.
Exactly. And
Javelina Cantina was known for their nachos back in the day. So that nacho plate kind of pays homage to those nachos that we used to get when we would go to the Javelina.
Yeah, we tried to bring back a few of the items that were similar bring back some memories or invoke some memories of people that stopped by.
Right.
But also, it's a great place to have, you know, soup and a sandwich.
Right.
And what you'd expect, you know, for our weary guests who, you know, didn't get any food on the airplane and are showing up hungry.
Right.
So we're also excited for U of A football games.
Right.
You know, so it's a great place to come watch football games or watch the NFL games. And it's a nice casual environment.
Or stop by on the way down to the game if you're not engaged in a tailgate party or something, looking for a nice place to go. It's a great place to start your football. And, you know, sometimes when the game is like this weekend, it's at 7 p.m., you know, come at 3 or 4 or 5 and have a quick meal, and then you're real close to the U of A. You're just a stone's throw from the U of A.
It's an inexpensive Uber or Lyft ride.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And then you have a parking in the DoubleTree parking lot, and then you can get to the game and be dropped off right at the gate.
Well, and if you don't want to go home after that, you could just get
stop
a room. Take the elevator home.
Take the elevator home. Yeah, staycation, as they say. Yeah, fantastic. Well, you know, you guys are going to the Hilton Conference here next week, and certainly the legacy of the DoubleTree Hotel at Reed Park has just been an amazing interesting thing. What's the future look like for the industry, the travel industry after COVID? It's really took a hit there. Obviously, all hotels across the world took a hit. But it's coming back, isn't it?
It's coming back. It's slowly coming back. You know, Tucson rebounds a little slower than, say, Phoenix might rebound. But we're seeing it. We're really seeing it in the group section. We're seeing a lot of group business start to come back, which is encouraging.
Right. And
groups coming back first, and then we're seeing a little more corporate travel start to come back, and then the full-on leisure vacation travel should be after that.
Right.
But 2025 is looking up. 2024 was a little challenging. The summertime was challenging for the entire Tucson market, but 2025 is actually looking pretty good.
Right.
More business coming in. We're seeing the business spread. So the resorts are busier. The in-town hotels or midtown hotels are busier. But 2025 is looking up. Like I said, we're just seeing a lot more group business come back, which is great because they spend a lot more money throughout the city and they're here for a longer period of time.
Right. That's Darren Haley. He's the general manager, and Janet Hare is the director of sales and marketing at the DoubleTree Hotel at Reed Park. So how many rooms are in the facility? You know, there's the tower, which is the newer of the hotel, and then there's the courtyard area. So what's the total room count?
273.
And one of the nicest things about the DoubleTree is the ballroom. Oh my goodness gracious.
10,000 square feet.
And just think of the number of events that have happened in the big ballroom in the back and then the Bonsai Bujum room in the front. Amazing.
I had my prom there.
Yeah.
And that was only like ballroom in town. Now I'm dating myself, but just remember, Ed,
yeah, that was only 20 years ago.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. If you look back at the old photos that Ackerley Advertising always has in the vault of the hotel, being our agency, you know, you have pictures of Bob Hope,
yeah.
Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
Michael Landon.
Landon.
Rosalind
yeah.
Carter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. John McCain and John Edwards.
Some election runs where we had...
They were all coming through.
Where we had all of them coming through.
And when Janet Napolitano was...
we had her inauguration.
Her inauguration was in at the DoubleTree.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place to work, and I know the facility is beautiful on 14 acres with all the citrus trees and the beautiful pool area, but what makes it so special is the people.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's always been home of just a really great family and friends who work together.
And you're right about the number of people who over the years have told me that they... you know, had some special event like a prom or wedding reception or whatever at the DoubleTree and how special that is to them, but also the people that have worked there over the years. And of course, our office was there for so many years, and you see them, your office was at the DoubleTree. Oh, here's what I know about, and they always have a special connection to the people and just the whole feel of it is really special.
And the people really make it happen there.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk in, there's people that are super sharp dressed like Ed, and then you'll see another guy in flip-flops next to him, and they'll be at the bar talking to each other.
Yeah.
And it's a really beautiful thing.
You notice that Roman and I stay out front at the bars, and we're not doing much work. We're doing Blue Blazer work out there at the Javelina. Yeah.
Well, and it says a lot about the staff, too, that as Janet talked, there's a lot of people have stories, but now they're bringing their kids, and they're having events for their children, their grandchildren, and so it's really a multi-generational property, and that's all due to the staff. So
there was one gentleman that worked in the kitchen, and he's retired now, but when he was there, he was there from like day one or three or 12,
Raheem.
And he worked every single day, never missed a day of work in some 32 years or whatever.
He never called in sick.
Yeah,
he was a Hilton Employee of the Year.
Yeah,
it's fun because when we go to the conference next week, it's interesting because you'll see people who are very high up in the corporate world of Hilton who will say, oh, I was at that hotel in 1978.
Right.
And you just say,
Right. You know, I got my start in the hotel business when Rick Sewell came over and said, hey, we need some help with our advertising. Would you help? I think that was 1983.
Yeah. I think, you know, at one time, well, we were, you know, clearly we're the longest standing in the brand.
Right.
You know, if you wanted to make it to corporate, you had to have a tour of duty at Doubletree Reed Park.
That's great. Well, you know, this show, Jump in Tucson on Fridays, is about success stories, business and organization success. If you look at Coaches for Charity, successful. If you look at all the other things, Pima County Sports Hall of Fame that you mentioned, and all the
Blue
things.
Blazers.
Blue Blazers, UVA
Arizona
Band.
Yeah.
UVA Band in its 85th year. And all
and
the things.
And Ackerley Advertising.
Yeah, 56 yes. years. Yeah. And talk about all the things that have centered around the Doubletree over the years. It's a pretty amazing story, and it's pretty amazing success. So, Darren, we really appreciate you. We're glad you're at the helm. You're doing a great job, and we appreciate you being there.
Thank you, Ed.
And keep up the good work. Janet, as always, good friend and great client. And
congratulations to the both of you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
thank you so much.
Thank you so
yeah.
much.
It's our success because you guys made it.
That's great. We really appreciate all you do for the community and coming on Jump In Tucson. So, you know, this is KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk, and you are listening to Jump In Tucson.
Yeehaw.
Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. This is the Friday edition where we talk about success stories and organizations and places and things where we celebrate success in business and organizations. And my co-host this morning is Roman Campuzano.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Life is good.
You're going to be subbing for me in a little while here. I'm heading out at the end of the month for an event with my wife, and you're going to be sitting in for me. So yes, we're practicing here today.
Really looking forward to that, yes.
Great. On the line with us is our good friend, Carlos Delgado from Tidy Up. How are you doing, Carlos?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm doing great.
Hey, I saw you twice last week. I saw you at the Arizona Sands Club. You were there with your son and enjoying the U of A band and the tailgate party that the Sands Club does every Thursday before home game, and that was awesome. And then I saw you wandering around with an iced tea in your hand at the tailgate parties. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think you had two iced teas in your hand. I think you had one in each hand. Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
just trying to enjoy some free time.
Yeah. Well, Carlos, you know, I'm going to tell a little family secret out loud in front of God and man and let everybody know that my brother Bill, who's here with us in studio, also introduced us to you through your dad, Dale Lopez, and You used to, as a little boy, come over as a high schooler, come over and help my father, Gene Ackerley, with yard work and little projects and so forth. We always laugh when you're not around that we think the reason you were actually there was to get my mom's great breakfast cooking on a Saturday morning. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
there was little work being done, but a lot of fun and so forth. But from that, you know, yes. my dad used to say, well, we're through with the breakfast here. Let's go out and tidy up a little bit. And so, and you,
yeah, those were definitely the good days, and I sure miss them both. And your mom's breakfast is always what me and your dad look forward to.
That's great. Well, you spent some time after school. You went into the law enforcement business and were out at the prison as a guard and did that for 17 years and did quite well at that. But you decided to chuck that career and go do something else. So tell us a little bit about being in the prison system and why you left there after 3 years left on your 20 years and your points to retire because you got something else going on. So let's talk a little bit about being in prison.
Yeah.
You were in prison for a while. Yeah.
It was the county jail with the sheriff's department. Yeah, started January of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a rewarding career. It was tough, but you know, in the back of my mind, all those years, I just felt, you know, I always wanted to kind of start my own business, and you know, I just kind of went for it, and you know, just to kind of set something up as a retirement plan, or once I leave the department, I have something to fall back on.
Right.
And it the business actually started to take over, and it just came to a point where it just didn't make much sense to stay with the department anymore. So the business really took off, and I'm very thankful and appreciate all our customers that gave us a chance and who have been sticking with us.
I was out playing. I wasn't actually playing golf. Yeah, I guess I was playing golf. I was out at Arizona National a few months ago, and I was with Sixto Molina and Leo Garcia, and we were playing some golf. and we were coming around the corner there at that one hole, the par three hole that's right across the street from the clubhouse, and we pull up in our carts, and lo and behold, here is a tidy up truck sitting out there, and JJ walks by, and you guys are doing a beautiful home up in Arizona National, and so I saw you guys in action. It was pretty cool. So you started basically a landscaping, a tidy up yard service. So started as a kind of a small little operation, but look at what you've been able to come up with now. So tell us a little bit about the company.
Yeah, well, we keep it simple. We're just strictly yard cleanup. A typical company is like a one-stop shop. They're doing pavers, they're doing walls, and I kind of think that, you know, that kind of sets them behind as far as communication with customers, because maybe they get overwhelmed with booking, you know, bigger jobs. But we just keep it simple. Keep the yards tidy, light tree trimming, trimming bushes, blowing debris, you know, very basic. And I think the simplicity of it is actually what's been working for us.
And you've expanded your range of where you've gone, but you kind of started in the Arizona National foothills a little bit and other places. So obviously you would go anywhere. As a matter of fact, you're going to be doing a quote today. You go basically anywhere, but what's your concentration? What kind of homes and/or businesses would you like to do?
We service Tucson and surrounding areas, but primarily, we're in Oro Valley, Alaska, Beano Canyon, Dove Mountain, central of Tucson. We even make stops in Green Valley, Sahuarita, a little bit of everywhere. But primarily right now, like most of our clientele is the north side of Tucson.
You know, when Roman and I were on the crew, and Bill and everybody, we were running for mayor, one of my big platforms was that we need to clean up Tucson and make sure there was, you know, you drive down the street and there's weeds a mile high on either side. And one of my comments was always, even in some of these neighborhoods where there's, you know, not a lot of high income, you know, Tucson is one of the lower per capita income in the state and maybe even in the region. And people don't have a lot of money to do a lot of things, but it's as Gene Ackerley, when you were over helping Gene Ackerley at his house, it's tidy up, do the best with what you have with the place that you have, and just keep it clean, and it can be very nice. So someone doesn't have to have a $7 million house in order for you to come and provide service to them, right?
No. Our prices are very affordable. In Tucson, as you just said, you know, there's weeds everywhere, and we got a very affordable package, a monthly service. We stop by monthly and just spray weeds, and every 6 months we apply pre-emergent, which is a weed preventative. We also offer community discounts as far as, you know, law enforcement, military, medical, and teachers. We give a 15% off discount for those for our appreciation for their service and giving back to the community. We also offer free services. We help out with neighborhood cleanups. For our elderly community, if there's pathways being obstructed, like we'll go and we'll just clear the pathway, overgrown bushes kind of growing in their walkway, and, you know, just so they stay safe. So we do want to give back, and we offer some community discounts.
That's great. Well, you know, law enforcement, you were obviously in law enforcement for a long time, and then teachers, you know, you come from a long line of teachers in your family, especially especially your dad, Dale Lopez, was a teacher for many, many, and still continues to act in that space. You know, I have to shout out to you. You're kind of a startup company. You've only been a couple of years now that you've been doing this, and you're already one of the big sponsors of a couple things that we do: the Coaches for Charity Kickoff Classic, the MLK Classic, and so forth. You are right there with a sponsorship to help us. We appreciate that very much, Carlos. And your community engagement is fantastic as a as a homegrown company, no pun intended, you're cleaning up those that homegrownness on a regular basis. So that's great. Well, when we come back after the break, we'll take a little break here. What I want to talk about just a little bit is about how, you know, part of this is a shameless plug for the businesses that are successful. And as a guy like you that's just starting up, when we come back, we'll talk about a little more in depth about the kind of services and the homes that you work with, and then we'll see how people can get in touch with you. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley, along with my co-host this morning, Roman Camposano. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for sitting in for me later on this month. It'll be great to have you in the captain's chair doing your thing.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
And we're also with us is Bill Ackerley. But on the line with us is Carlos Delgado. He is the owner of Tidy Up Yard Service and a little company that kind of was a in the back of your mind, Carlos, and now you've turned it into a going operation. You got some employees now, and the headache of all of that, of organizing a business. But it's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yes, it does not stop.
Yeah. So what is the process? Like you told me that you were heading out to do some quotes. So you go by as the owner and you take a look at what the situation is with a particular home and then kind of give them a quote and say, this is what we could do to clean you up here this one time, or this is our package service for over maintenance over time. Or how does it all work?
Yeah, well, we get inquiries through Yelp, email, you know, phone calls, text messages. I take down the information. We set up a time, a date. I show up, walk the property, and take some pictures. And if I'm able to give a quote right then and there, just sometimes because there's many stops to make, I almost kind of got to be a little bit in and out. But then, you know, I give them the numbers and they say, yes, let's do it. Then, you know, we get them scheduled and then we go from there.
a typical yard, if you're on a maintenance program, maybe an hour or two at each place, a couple times, once a month, twice a month, depending on the package. And it's coming back to trim bushes, mow lawns, blow, and all the stuff that you would do. That's just like anything else. That's it's best to have it on a maintenance schedule, especially with the weed spraying and the pre-emergent and so forth. It's best to be on a schedule so that the place is always tidied up and looking nice, right?
Yes, definitely. The longer, you know, the customer waits, like some customers like quarterly, or bi-monthly, but even those, you show up and it's almost like showing up for the first time.
Right.
So yes, I mean, we definitely recommend monthly, but we also know that, you know, budgets may not allow that for everybody. So we try to work with everybody, all our customers, and, just getting there when they would like and just doing the best job we can each visit.
Sounds great. And so you have these monthly visits, weekly visits, quarterly visits that you make to these residential homes. What does that look like for a business owner?
Like
commercial accounts, I would assume that
a dentist office
or even a hotel. Yeah. I mean, hotels need to be tidy all the time. We just had a hotel on the radio a moment ago.
Yes. Well, we got a small handful of commercial, primarily we're residential. Primarily we're residential.
Okay.
But if it was like, say, like for instance, my dentist is on Broadway and over by Palo Verde Park there, and he's in a house. He's actually in a house and has been for, they've been there for 40 years. And so the landscaping around it is not overpowering, and there's no grass, it's a cactus. And so if you had a place like that was, not a huge, gigantic commercial structure, that might be something that a dentist might give you a call, or a doctor might give you a call if they've got or an accountant who's got a building with a small area that needs to be cleaned. That might be good for you as well, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. The smaller commercial buildings and properties, yes, we can definitely handle that. It's you mentioned like hotels. Our crew is still pretty small right now, so we wouldn't be able to take on a big client like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, smaller offices, and And we treat them the same way as in residential. They could all have us over monthly or quarterly. Whatever the yard needs are, and we talk about it and then come up with a plan from there.
Excellent. And so how does that work when I know there's a homeowners association where I live. Are introductions to homeowners associations important to you? How do you work closely with them?
We're working with a property management in Sabino Springs, and she refers a lot of customers to us. But as far as maintaining the entire HOA, we're not doing that just yet because we are still pretty small. But homes in HOA subdivisions, we service on a regular basis.
My mind keeps kicking back to HOAs. I was the president for 10 years of a neighborhood pool, and I was over there weed eating and Saturday mornings, and some volunteers helping us. But it would have been great to have tidy up over there on a regular basis. So, and it's not that big of a place, but I could see how a homeowners association might hire you to maintain the pool area or something that's simple and meaningful. So, it's really important, when we have these monsoons over the summertime and the rains come flying down, then 2 weeks later you got 6-inch weeds around your house, and that goes on all summer long. And so your weed service is really important, isn't it, to spray and to do the pre-emergence twice a year because of, like we talked about, the weeds on the street and weeds everywhere. The weeding is part of living in a desert. We're just susceptible to that, and that's an important part of what you do, right?
Yes, definitely. The more frequent visits, the more we're able to keep things under control. And like I said, if somebody kind of waits, that quarterly service, the weeds, yes, they'll be as tall as the house. it's just amazing. And plus, even on a monthly service, sometimes we'll go up and we'll just have the yard looking crystal clear, and then we show up the following month and there's just weeds everywhere. So the more frequent visits, we're just able to stay on top of it and just keeping the weeds at bay.
So quick question about the environment. I'm not one of those guys, just want to tell you that right now, but I know there are some of those guys listening. So what would you say to somebody that's kind of conscious about the environment and, making it in respect to chemicals and pet friendly, kid friendly, things of that sort?
We also offer a 100% organic retailer, but that's just upon request. And I actually try to start my business based off that alone. But the chemical itself, it's 30% stronger vinegar. So like the home remedy, is vinegar, table salt, and dish soap. That's what homeowners could do for themselves at home. They can make their own solution and just go out and spray weeds. But we went through a company, Green Gobbler. So we would order from them. It's a 30% stronger vinegar, and we'll go and spray the yards. And pet friendly, environmental friendly.
All right.
But that is just on a upon request, because that product became pretty expensive for me as a business owner, as a small business.
Yeah, it's understandable. Absolutely.
Yes.
What's your phone number, Carlos, so they want to get a hold of you? How would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they could go to my website at tidyupyard.com. They could email at tidyupyard@gmail.
Great.
Or my phone number, 520-279-8441.
Great. Thank you, Carlos Delgado from Tidy Up Yards. However, Roman's going to take us out.
I'll be going to your website right after this, tidyupyard.com. Coming up on Monday is our University of Arizona Wonder Show with Dr. Ed Ackerley. Ted Maxwell hosts Tuesday. Grant Kruger will be here on Wednesday, and Tom Moulton on Thursday. And Ed Ackerley again will be back the following Friday. If you should If you would like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson and share your success story, go to jumpintucson.com and let us know a little bit about you. And who knows, maybe you'll be live on the air with us.
Great. Thank you so much, Roman. That's it for Jump in Tucson today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back.